1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got a great show today.
Great show, yes.
We've got confusingly named John Henry in studio.
Hello. Today.
We got John Henry. We got me, John Henry. We got producer Julian tickling
keys,
yeah. Making money, pressing buttons.
Pressing buttons. I do that very well.
My continue wife to me. Launch us into international stardom in the world of AM Catholic Radio.
Yeah, and I'm happy to say that we have finally filmed, and it is in the process of editing today, which means you will see it 100% in the show notes, John Henry and I's Running Man video, which has two parts, a first part which is very unorganized, and a second part which is a little bit more synchronized. We want to hear your comments.
I practiced for weeks preparing for this.
Yeah, yeah, I may have had 2 days of practice, but give some comments just in this video of what you think of it, even if you watch it, and comment on that one too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So we're doing a conversion story episode today, which I'm super excited about. I love conversion stories. I mean, they'll tell you off air. You can say it's better than anything else we do. It's a lot of fun. I really like to dig into it and kind of follow all the rabbit holes.
Sure.
An hour is about just the right enough time, I think, to kind of dig in and press and ask a bunch of follow-ups. But before we do that, you owe us three fun facts.
One? John Henry has been on the show. You were there.
There's been two shows ever, I think, that I haven't hosted.
Well, I'll compromise and let him have two.
Two. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. But first, we're going to pray. Do you mind leading us in prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be humbled today and to glorify your name. Thank you very much for this creation and for our own lives. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to suffer for you and those opportunities to be joyous and happy. Guide our tongues today to the ears of those who need to hear you most, and give us the strength to resist the temptations of Satan. In your name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I don't know. I don't grade prayers anymore. I was told that was inappropriate, but if I did, that would be like a 94. That was really great. That was solid.
So, thanks.
Where do you go?
Thank you, God.
Is that Protestant background, man?
No.
Yeah?
Not at all. I'm a cradle.
Stop.
I'm a cradle.
Wait, we're doing a conversion story today. What's going on?
It's a reversion story.
A reversion story.
Reversion.
Okay, yep. Fantastic.
Yeah.
This could be better. Maybe.
There's stuff going on that's going to, I hope, help people out there that may be in the same spot I was.
The way that your accent pointed towards conversion pretty hard, I thought. So, cool. Which is all a compliment, by the way. A big shout out to our Protestant brothers and sisters. Yep. My mom is a Methodist, right?
And so was my dad.
Yeah, they're this close.
He was. He's Catholic now.
Dude, praise God.
Yep.
All right, so to all of our Protestant brothers and sisters out there, just swim across the Tiber. The water's fine. This is a great time of year to do it. It's worth it, I promise. Jesus Christ, the church he founded, is hanging out right there. It's waiting for you. Sacraments are there. We're all going. All right, are we good over there, Producer Julian? All right, awesome. Sorry, I was just kind of spitballing while we had some cameras get fixed. You got two fun facts to get us started?
So I run every single day. I run at University of North Georgia, and I did a tally of how much I have ran. So I am at 15,822 miles.
What's the circumference of the Earth?
I have no idea. As of December 31st of 2024, I hit that. I'm probably at 16,000 miles by now.
Can we get a check on the circumference of the Earth?
26,000 plus miles.
I'm not even impressed anymore.
What's the distance from here to the moon?
Yeah,
that's.
Well, I know the Earth is 93 million miles
from the sun
to the sun.
Okay, I think the moon is closer.
Times closer, so whatever that is.
Okay,
930,000 miles.
All right. Well, give me 200 more years, and I will probably make it.
You're going to do this coming to the Earth soon, though. Yeah. You're within about 10,000. Yeah, how many years have you been doing that? You said
7 years. So I average about about 2,600 miles a year. But in the beginning I was doing like 19 miles a day, so I was
every day
oh
my goodness.
So I was hitting and this actually takes place in the context of the reversion. This is really important.
That's cool.
That the amount of running actually comes into play. But I was out there probably 3 hours a day doing my thing. So in fact I was running to music that has a wonderful beat. Much
yeah,
like,
I wasn't sure if it was picking up on your mic or not, but it is good. It's good
wonderful
running
music. Yeah. It's great Running Man music.
Hey! Man, yeah. that's a teaser for
all kinds of technical difficulties.
No, that's a good sign. That's always a good sign.
No. Yeah, it is a good sign.
Come Holy Spirit.
Every time we have technical difficulties, it's because the devil's after us because they don't want people to hear
doesn't want people to hear it. So God,
and,
our tongues, God.
They're not going to hear it until you give us one more fun fact, though.
And fun fact, I have been the director, well, I should say coordinator, of the OCIA program at St. Luke's now for 4 years.
OCIA.
Order of Christian Initiation of Adults. They changed the name from RCIA to OCIA.
When did that happen?
Formally this year, but they've been working on it for years.
That's so funny. I didn't know that. Yep. You'd think that would be something that I would have heard. OCIA.
OCIA.
And what is the order?
Order
of Christian.
Yep.
Okay, as opposed to the right.
As opposed to the right.
Okay.
Might be confusing to some ears that are unfamiliar with R-I-T-E, right?
Right.
And order is easier to kind of discuss what it is.
Sure.
To those who might be ignorant.
So you do. So you coordinate that now. You're one of the.
I coordinate for. So I'm at St. Luke's Parish. So I'm with Father Matt, and he and I teach about 50% each of the class.
Awesome.
And
what a holy man. What a great priest.
Oh, he's a great priest. Yeah, yeah. I tell everybody I'm so blessed because whenever I go to Mass, I know there's going to be confession at least half an hour before every Mass.
That came up
every
on the last
Mass.
Episode. I was talking about how great that is and how, frankly, I think it's borderline scandalous that that's not more common, right? Yeah. Every priest should be doing that before Mass, right? I mean, you know, back in the day, back when we had multiple priests, they ought to be sitting back there during Mass.
It was. So back in the day, during Mass, you would have priests hearing confessions and people getting up and going to confession during Mass.
Right.
I mean, obviously the numbers, it's a numbers game at this point where that's not entirely possible.
Hey, we're going to trend in the right direction real soon. The number of seminarians, these young men on fire. I'm so excited about
Absolutely. I agree.
No, I'm a big fan of Father Matt, and a big fan of him doing that. I can't tell you how many. I've popped in. I'm registered to vote in Dahlonega. We used to live over here. I got to change some stuff up. We live over in Pickens County now.
Okay.
But and when I came in to vote, I looked at the clock coming in. I was like, I got 30 minutes. Mass starts in 30. Yeah. I'm going to swing by the church. One guy in front of me, in and out. Christmas Eve.
My
daughter ran over there and got confession real fast before Mass started. So praise God.
Oh, and now they do a Friday Mass at noon, and I can go over during lunch break because I work on the other side of the square. It's great. And we have Father Dan, who assists in Dawsonville.
I know him. I'm familiar. He's down at Christ Redeemer.
At Christ Redeemer. And so he comes up for the noon Mass on Friday. Mm-hmm. And same thing, he offers confession before, so it's fantastic.
Big thank you to all of our priests
out
there.
Thank you, priests.
Yeah, thanks for being vessels of the mercy.
Thank you for being men.
Yes. So let's talk about you, John Henry.
Yep.
This is weird, my name. You've never met another John Henry, actually.
Yep. Double the action in this room.
It's a good one. Yeah. Can we talk about little John Henry?
Yeah, sure. So I was baptized as an infant 1982.
Okay.
My father and mother have been married since 1978 or 77. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening to this, that I don't recollect. But my father was in the Navy, so we were stationed at Parris Island.
Okay, sure.
And I was born in a military base and cost about $20.
Nice.
It was a cheap baby.
Yeah.
It was good.
Babies have all been way more expensive.
My brother and sister were way more expensive.
Those 80s babies, yeah.
So my mother is a very loyal and cradle Catholic. She was teaching Bible school when I was born.
Okay.
Or Sunday school, I should say, and still teaches to this day. And then my dad was a Methodist, but he was a very intelligent man, very honorable man, very loving man. And, you know, when they went through pre-Cana, he agreed that all of his children would be raised in the church, and he stuck to that.
Right.
You know,
great.
Even though he was not Catholic, and he was going to Methodist church. But, so I was baptized in 1982. We moved here to Dahlonega in 1986 or so, and I received my sacraments here.
At St. Luke's.
So
what year did you say you moved here? 86?
So about 85 or 86,
so you grew up here.
Yeah.
You grew up Lumpkin County.
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can tell you what it's like to be a Catholic in the 80s in North Georgia.
Right.
And so I received First Communion December 24th, 1989.
Fantastic.
And I have a felt banner to prove it in the basement of my parents' house.
Of course felt.
Of course felt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was busy being about 6 months old.
Okay.
And December of 89.
Yeah. And then I was confirmed in 1996, April of 1996. And I walked away from the church, not in a formal way in 2000. I just quit coming.
Sure.
I basically became a humanist in the sense that I just wanted to, I wanted to satisfy my desires
right.
all the time. Whatever felt good, that's what I wanted.
That's pretty lame. You know? Incredibly common, right? I got a very similar story. It was just as, it's probably even lamer when I was doing it. But
it's boring.
Before we get into this, though, I want to take one big step back, because a second ago you said, I can tell you what it was like being a Catholic in the 80s in North Georgia. And I'll say, I'm from South Georgia. I'm from a town called Americus down in Southwest Georgia. And in 2007, I moved up to Dawsonville.
Okay.
Right? I went to a little Catholic college, Southern Catholic, not there anymore. And I was a volunteer with the fire department, right? I was 18 years old. I thought it'd be fun. And so I did that. And even then, not knocking the firefighters in general, but that was just sort of how I got out and about, and I was around people and in the community of Dawsonville and all these sort of rural communities around it doing the firefighting stuff. I had some disparaging comments even then. And we're talking about 20 years after you were here, about, I can't believe there's a Catholic school here. Why would we ever let a Catholic school be up in Dawsonville and all this stuff? So I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, sure. I mean, at that age, so I'm going to public school, middle school, of course, high school, elementary schools, all public education. I think the only private school would have been possibly Pinecrest, maybe, or Pius.
I think Pinecrest was early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 96, I think, was Pinecrest.
Okay,
actually.
Was it 96? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that wasn't even available, and my parents wouldn't have had the money to afford a private school anyway. Being a Catholic, you have to remember a few things. One, we didn't have the catechism until 1992. Mm-hmm. And even then, it wasn't really finished until 1994.
Right.
So there's not a book at that time that was available, or even if there was one, you wouldn't know about it because you couldn't just jump online and Google what's a good Catholic book to teach yourself.
Right.
That wasn't really available. So there wasn't a reference point. If you wondered if something was wrong, you just kind of had to wonder if something was wrong.
Interesting.
You could ask somebody.
Right.
But if they didn't know, you know, or you could go to your priest, and at that time it was Father John, God bless him. But if he didn't know, and as a young kid, I don't really remember asking him too much, but if he doesn't know, there's not really a way to elevate that to go find out what the answer is.
Do you remember having those, like around what age, I guess, do you remember having those doubts and those questions?
Well, so doubts, no. Questions, yes, because as a young person, when you tell people you're Catholic, even if you're six or seven, the kids around you are just going to, they don't know, there's no filter. So it's straight up like, you're Catholic, I've heard about you. My parents tell me that you go to hell.
Right.
You know, but they're not really coming after you. They're just like, this is what I hear. As you get older, it becomes more like, no, listen, I want to help you. I want to save your soul. Mm-hmm. You're going to hell because you guys worship Mary. You're a false, idolatrous church.
Right.
So that was really common. I mean, that was all the time. And
with peers, you're saying?
With peers. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, John Henry, why wouldn't you just go on Google and look up some of these answers? I don't understand. Why?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, in the 80s and early 90s, that just wasn't. There was no Google.
There was no Google.
For those of you out there listening, and I'm sure there's plenty of folks listening in my age group, you already know the answer to this. But those of you that are younger, that might not be thinking about just how easy it is to access information. It wasn't so easy back then. At this time, you just could not. You couldn't pull out your phone. There wasn't a smartphone. There wasn't a method to quickly address a question and find a reliable source of authority you could trust.
So did you defend your faith in those conversations? Were you constantly fighting? Oh, interesting.
Okay. I had no idea. So
did you disagree with them when they said you're going to hell?
I was a stubborn, argumentative little kid.
Oh, good. Okay.
So
Lord works through that.
I'm right, you're wrong, but I have no idea why.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm still kind of like that, actually. I struggle with that.
And I will not give up.
Right.
You know?
Your facts aren't going to change my opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Or I know there's facts. I just don't know what they are.
Right.
You know? And I, you know, it's good to look back and remember my friends at this point, none of them wanted me or wished me harm. They legitimately thought that I was an idolatrous man and I needed to be saved by Jesus. And they weren't wrong. I needed to be saved by Jesus, but they just were wrong on what saved by Jesus meant.
Sure.
And but I was confronted that all the time. In fact, it got so bad at one point that in middle school, my mother caught notice. I think I probably had mentioned to her. And so we had a special meeting at St. Luke's, and our youth group kind of directors and leaders walked us through kind of basic apologetics of how to defend ourselves.
Wow, that's just interesting.
Against
that,
those.
That world where they said we need to get everybody together and have a conversation. Yeah. But praise God they did it.
Like we have to tell you how to defend the Blessed Mother. You know, we have to tell you how to defend the sacraments.
And you were attending Mass every Sunday.
Yep.
You were doing all the all the things. Your mother was
Sunday,
very pious.
The youth groups. Yep.
Oh, God
absolutely.
Bless your mom. Big shout out to all the Catholic moms out there who are keeping us straight. My wife is one of those, by the way.
I never would have come back to the church if it wasn't for her prayers.
Sure.
And hopefully we have time where I can mention in detail why, like what she did in her prayers. But yeah, absolutely. I owe everything to my parents, as we all do. You know, as we all do. But I remember them getting us together to teach us how to defend ourselves. And these things, you know, you can intellectually know these, and you can even believe these in your will to believe and to love. If you let go of them, it doesn't matter how much you know.
Hmm. Okay, sure.
So if you can know everything, but that doesn't guarantee that you won't be tempted by Satan to reach out and grab. To believe in yourself more than God.
So when did that shift start to take place?
You know, so I started at UNG. Well, at that time, it was North Georgia College and State University in 1999. And I was 17 years old.
Okay.
I was probably too young to really be there. I mean, it's only a year difference from when kids standardly start.
Right.
But there, at 17, you're going to class with folks that are your age up to, 30s,
sure.
You know, even 40s. And within a year, I had stopped going to Mass. It wasn't that I didn't believe in God.
Right.
Or that I didn't believe in the Catholic Church. At least formally, it wasn't that I didn't believe. I just cared more about what I could do outside of that time than with Christ.
So was it a conscious decision to say, I'm not going to church anymore? Or was it just Sundays where it's a little too early in the morning, there's more stuff going on?
It was, I'm hungover.
Right.
It was, I'd rather go spend times with my buddies or my roommates. It was, I would rather, quite frankly, experiment with various drugs that might be available
because
you're who you're hanging out with. And that was a lot more fun than what I know now, obviously, is offering right praise to Jesus, offering right praise to God at Mass. I didn't have that in my mind. And even if I did, I don't know if I would have cared.
I do think it's something that is worth saying out loud. I've said it before, but sin is fun. We enjoy sin, right? There's always we don't realize there's this veneer of fun and exciting and enjoyment over it that makes it so we don't see the rot that's taking place down there. And the reason why I'm saying sin is fun, it is sort of like a in your face, like, no, it's not, it's bad. Saying, no, the broken part of us, the concupiscence exists in us because we're chasing this thing, this hole to fill that can only be filled by Christ.
Yep.
And I think acknowledging that out loud and saying, no, there's absolutely something that's enjoyable about sin if you're not properly formed that speaks to a brokenness in our human nature. And I don't know. I just think that the realization of that helps us guard against it. Right?
I'm okay with that statement as long as it's the caveat is added that true joy is not the same thing as fun.
Yes.
And true joy and satisfaction is only found in God and in lessening yourself and becoming more like Him.
We talk about that a lot some of the younger guys that I talk to and I work with about the difference between, I use the word fun or I'll say fleeting happiness and joy.
And joy,
You know what can give you some serious fleeting happiness? Cocaine.
Yeah.
You can feel great.
You just feel fantastic.
Fantastic for a little while.
For about 20 minutes.
Is there any joy tied to that? Nope.
No.
There's no joy. You're not being fed. It's a detriment. But, yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, you're good. You're good. So at 17, 18 years old, it was just, this is the first time as a young man that I was given the authority to decide for myself what to do.
Were you living outside of the house?
I was.
Okay.
And so immediately, nope, not going, And, my mother, God bless her, she would actively, John, please come to Mass. And my parents aren't the type to bend your arm, trying to force you. My response would always be extremely hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Just that reaction is like, you're pushing my buttons.
She's Saint Monica.
Listen.
That's great.
When my dad converted to the church in 2021, she'd been praying since 1977 when they, or 76 when they started dating,
right,
for him to join the church. And she prayed every day from 77 to 2021,
right,
until that finally happened.
That's beautiful.
So she is a Saint Monica.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and there's more. I mean, she prayed for us. Long after I converted, I know I'm kind of jumping to the end, but we'll go back into the process here. I'm a guardian for adoration at St. Mm-hmm. Luke's. And in the chapel, we keep a bin of note cards, and you can write prayer intentions on there. I've been a guardian since 2018. And so I've read through. There's new ones, but there's also some of the same ones have been in there. And in that bin of note cards, there is a 3x5 note card that my mom wrote. I recognize it because I know her handwriting. I can pick it out. Yeah, almost blindfolded, I know her handwriting. I can just feel the lead on there. Right. That's her writing that. And in her time in adoration in front of our Lord, she was begging him, you know, to bring us home. I have a brother and a sister, and all right. three of us had left the church.
Right.
And, you know, to find that in an adoration chapel. So imagine I'd come back to the church, and I'm sitting in front of Christ, and I'm looking through prayer intentions, and there's one from my own mother, you know, saying, please bring my son John home.
Oh, praise God. That's
you want
beautiful.
To talk about being a crybaby.
That is beautiful.
You know, like
yes,
I'm sitting there bawling and just thinking, my mom is so much better than me.
Right.
Like, so much of a better person, you know, and so forgiving because
sure.
every interaction that you have separated, at least in my experience, it was always hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Not on her part, but on my part.
Sure.
She's trying to love, and I'm instantly going, go away. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone. You know, stop making decisions for me. And that, you know, and she never quits.
Right.
That's why there's something about motherhood and God, you know, motherhood imitates God in that way where their arms are always outstretched.
Right.
They're always willing to say,
sure.
you can come back. You know, mothers love us and just never forget us, even when we're like, you know, no, go away. And God's the same way.
Right.
He's always there waiting. Even if you've turned your back on him, he won't say no to you as long as you turn around and want him.
The older I get, the more sort of emotionally touched I am by
man.
The story of the prodigal son in particular.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those stories you grow up
yeah.
reading, and it's just a story. There's Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, the prodigal son. You got all these parables. But now, I swear, every time I read it, I'm just trying to choke back.
Yeah.
But, because you see that. Yeah, just that, those arms outstretched, and the part yeah. that gets me every time is not when he's coming home, and the dad, he doesn't stand there and wait for him.
He comes
runs,
to him.
He
runs
to him. He charges towards
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he's coming
oh,
to him.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's beautiful about that story? I know I'm going to detour us for a second, but St. Augustine writes quite a bit about that. And he clothes the prodigal son
right.
in sacramental graces. Mm-hmm. So that son was naked. Like Adam and Eve realizing they were naked.
Sure.
And God says, here are shoes, here are clothes. You know, the Father is putting graces upon
right.
upon us like he does that son that comes
oh,
back to him.
I love it.
You know? Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for us to
no,
go
it's
off
okay. it's my fault too.
Rabbit
yeah.
hole. So you're in college.
Yep.
All of a sudden you're replacing what is true, good, and beautiful.
Yeah,
with
and there's no conscious thought. It's not like I have a moment where I'm sitting
yeah,
here
sure.
going, you know what, I'm going to change everything. It's just I'm following that, and this is the desires I have. And
did you consider yourself Catholic still?
You know, if you would ask me at that time, my answer was, because people would ask me, I'd just say, I'm a very bad Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, and so I don't go to anything.
Right.
You know, I don't attend any meetings. I don't go to any mass. I haven't been to confession in years. I'm just a very bad Catholic.
Okay.
So not even a CNE Catholic.
No, I mean.
Come on, you didn't go with mom on Christmas and Easter?
Yes, but I wouldn't even. So, and there's a difference here. At some level, I knew what the Eucharist is, what the Eucharist mm-hmm. was. You know, this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So when I would go to Christmas and Easter Mass, CNE or Creaster, as I sometimes mm-hmm. funnily call. One, I was usually hungover and I smelled of alcohol. My parents would be like, you stink so bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'd kind of be sitting there like, I don't know what's going on here. But I couldn't bring myself to approach the Eucharist and receive Jesus mm-hmm. Because I wasn't living a life that I accepted. I mean,
sure.
even if I intellectually said, yeah, I think that's Jesus up there, I wasn't acting in any way to affirm that. I mean, quite right. the opposite. It, my actions revealed my beliefs, and my beliefs were, even if I intellectually told myself that's Jesus, I didn't really believe it. If I had really believed that was God, I would have been down on my knees begging for mercy.
Right.
And instead, I was like, I want to do everything I can to not be here. So I obviously did not truly believe what I said I did. But I just acknowledged I'm a bad Catholic, terrible Catholic. And outside of that, the friends that I had, and God bless you guys if you all listen to this, because I have some close friends that probably will listen to this. We all were in the same boat, and we were all kind of feeding off each other. And you know, we were not monogamous men. You know, and we found our completion by going to local watering holes constantly, all the time, which only got worse as we got older. And I want to say for anyone out there that, that thinks that that's not the biggest deal in the world, you're in your early 20s. I woke up one day in 2015 and I had to get sober. And when I had to get sober, I realized that after 17 years of drinking, that I had lost decades of my family's life. Like, I remember my sister being a little girl, and now she was in her 20s, almost 30. And I'm like, man, wait a minute, what happened? And so I missed a lot of what happened in my family because I didn't want to be a part of it and because I was drinking all the time. And mix that together, time just flies. Every single one of you that listens to this will know, as you get older, time just speeds up. Throw on top of that, some you drink every single night, and suddenly 2 years goes by in the blink of an eye. And it's just, it seems to be that you miss out on so much. So it's a huge regret.
So that was all the way up until 2015, you said?
2015. So what happened in 2015?
Well, imagine. I think I'm gonna put a pause because we're about to go to break. So I hate to say, right now, I feel like we're pretty close to rock bottom.
Pretty close to rock bottom.
Let's stay there while we listen to these sponsors.
And then when we're back, we're going to tell you about rock bottom.
We'll start going up, hopefully, on the other side of this. But this is really great. Thank you so much, John Henry, for being here and being willing to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching, if you're listening, I think the story is going to get a little more, a little better here on the second half. Praise God for that. And, yeah, we'll be right back after... after a word from whoever we got. Julian, you got anything to close us out on?
We got a word or two, I think, from a few people. But if you're listening, make sure that you comment down below and share this with anybody that you know that might need it.
Awesome. Thanks, producer Julian. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We are going to be right back. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are still here with John Henry. We last left off on a pretty depressing cliffhanger.
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom. And I'm hoping we're going to move up soon. I'm excited about that part.
So 2015, in 2015, imagine you're drinking every day. You're smoking a pack of cigarettes every day. You're eating all the time, right? Because you're drinking all the time. In 2015, I am diagnosed with sleep apnea.
Okay.
For those of you that aren't familiar, it just means that you can't sleep really well, and a consequence or a side effect of this can be strokes, heart attacks, increased blood pressure. It's usually, it can be genetic, or it can be because you have an increase of weight that you're carrying on your body, and your body cannot breathe right. So it's trying to wake you up in order to make sure that you breathe and you don't suffocate in your sleep. So the doctor says, look, you know, I'm looking at you, John, 30% of your body is fat. Mm-hmm. You might have a chance of getting out of this if you exercise and get healthy. You have to quit drinking, and you're going to have to quit smoking. These two things are killing you.
Right.
And so what, everything that I had enjoyed, everything that I had pursued, had instead of fulfilling anything, because all you do is you chase that next experience,
sure,
had literally ruined my body. Mm-hmm. I'm overweight. I think at this point I was about 240 pounds or so. I'm 5'10", so that's a lot of weight on,
sure,
on a shorter guy that's not tall.
Right.
And so this is 2015. The doc's like, otherwise you're going to be on this machine. It's a mask you have to wear when you sleep, in order that you breathe right. And so I did. I actually stopped. My last drink was October 31st, which is my grandmother's birthday. She was a Catholic too. October 31st, 2015, last drink, done.
Praise God.
2 weeks later, well, not even 2 weeks later, it's November 11th. I just remember it because of World War I. Mm-hmm. November 11th, I took a look at a pack of cigarettes, and I said, all right, I'm not smoking you. And I put them down, and I immediately went to the store, and I bought some dip.
Sure.
But I didn't smoke anymore. And eventually, I'm not giving this as an excuse, guys, don't do this, but I dipped for a long time, and then eventually I quit that by getting the patch and by using peppermints. I ate hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of peppermints.
I did toothpicks to quit smoking.
It wasn't toothpicks?
Yep, chewed them to death, threw them, grabbed another one, yep.
So I've been tobacco-free since 2016, but I quit smoking November 11th, 2015. But this did not immediately lead me back into the church, because that would make no sense. I just quit drinking and I walked back in.
Right.
But here's what happens. I'm out of shape, and I'm being told by the doctors, you have a chance to not sleep with this thing. And I'm still pursuing a sinful life, mm-hmm, at this point. I'm dating a Catholic woman who's also not really in the church.
Sure.
She's taking me back to Mass, but we're not living out the life that we're called,
sure,
to live. And as we are, I'm quitting. I'm no longer drinking. I'm no longer smoking. I know, all right, I need to exercise. Mm-hmm. In order that I don't suffer from, like, this could kill me. And I quite honestly don't want to die.
Sure, that's fair.
You know, and for someone that is really not believing, they kind of don't want to die even more, because
right,
there's not much afterwards that you might believe in, mm-hmm, you know. And so I start walking, and what, at first, this is what happens is I open myself up completely for laughing, judgment. I have no pride anymore. It's all shame, and it's all been brought to my attention, so it doesn't matter. At this point, this silly little game comes out on the iPhone called Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I'm very familiar,
yeah,
sure.
And so at the place I work, it's a bar, everybody's playing it.
Right.
So I'm like, this is going to be fun, all right, yeah. Because I wasn't into that stuff. It just wasn't in my generation on the cartoons and things. So you have to go walk to do this. So I'm out kind of walking around with the phone, right? And I'm doing this. And I know I've got exercise. I'm like, okay, this is kind of working. I'm not drinking and I'm not eating. Or I'm not smoking. I am definitely eating, but I'm not smoking. And I start listening to, I'm big into politics. And this is 2015. So we're about to get into the 2016 election.
Sure.
This is big, right? Right? And so I'm listening to, I'm streaming different experts, kind of listening to ideas and theories. I'm listening to interviews. And there comes a time when you are able to put music or podcast to that game. So now when I'm out walking, I'm listening to this stuff.
Right.
And I run across an interview having to do with universal healthcare with Ben Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I ever heard this name. He's a conservative voice,
sure,
Jewish, involved with Daily Wire. He's a little more famous now than he was back in 2016.
Right.
And I'm telling my friend about this interview with Ben Shapiro, and he says, man, if you have heard of Ben, you need to check out Jordan Peterson. So I know we all know who Jordan Peterson is. But for those who are not listening, Jordan Peterson is a man that's seeking God out there, and he's got a big presence on YouTube. Is
he's going to come into the church.
Oh, his wife's already here, and so it's inevitable.
Yep. We actually canceled his interview so that we could have John Henry. So
I believe it. I believe it. And I think afterwards we should definitely have words about the gravity of that mistake. I look up Jordan Peterson, and at this time, what you're going to find in 2016 of Jordan is going to be his talks on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening to, as I'm walking out doing Pokemon Go out in the city, right. I'm listening to Jordan do a psychological analysis of Genesis and the Old Testament. And Jordan has this question that haunts him to this day. I've seen him in multiple interviews. He asked this question to Bishop Barron when Bishop Barron and he have met in multiple conversations. What did Jesus do on the cross? I don't understand. What did it accomplish for Christ to climb up on the cross? What did it do? And I'm listening to Jordan Peterson. I'm like, that's a great question. And I feel like I should know this.
Sure.
But what did it do? Okay. Well, I want to know. I want to answer to that question. It's got to be out there that the Catholic Church at some point must have explained
right. What
Christ had done on the cross. If the Catholic Church is everything that I was ever taught that it was, the kingdom of God, you know, this is the church, this is the dwelling place of the Lord, something as simple as what did Jesus do on the cross must be explained. But I don't know where to start. This is 2016, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't know where to go. I ironically discover at this time that I've never seen a catechism before in my life.
Oh, wow.
Because I go to get the catechism, and I discover that what I thought was the catechism was a commentary on the catechism and was not the actual catechism.
Great, okay.
So I go and I find a copy of the catechism, and I'm reading it. And I discover that there's not, in simple terms, an explanation that satisfied that question in my mind.
Okay.
And you know, now I would say a little differently, but at that point, at the level of what I could understand, it wasn't there. I remember a name from the man that taught me when I was in middle school in youth group. And he was a phenomenally loving Catholic man, Eric Schiedemeyer.
Okay.
And moved to Wisconsin, Montana with his family, big family, several kids, you know, and worked in the Archdiocese in Wisconsin, retired. He and his wife, Kowina, travel across the country visiting all their grandkids. Like,
it's a good life.
Have lots of kids, guys. Have lots of kids. There's someone out there that loves you. Anyway, so Eric was always having conversations with my father when I was younger in an effort to bring him to the church. Mm-hmm. And a name comes to mind, Scott Hahn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember this name. Okay. I don't know who this guy is, but I remember this one name. I'm going to track down this Scott Hahn guy. I'm going to see what's out there. So for the first time, I jump onto YouTube and I just type Scott Hahn. Let's see what's there.
There's great stuff.
Lots of videos show up, right? So I start watching, like, the Fourth Cup, the Lamb's Supper. And then I'm like, well, he's talking about these books. I'm going to order these books. I'm going to read these books.
This is so cool. Sorry, the fact that that's put on your, right, I'm seeing the transition already from our rock bottom phase. Now, I'm going to order a bunch of Scott Hahn books.
Yeah, so I'm going to order a bunch of Scott Hahn. Yeah, because, well, and I need this answer, and maybe it's here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's anything, it's going to be in a book about the offering of Christ. I mean, the Fourth Cup, the Lamb's Supper, it's got to be in here, right? And I order these books. I read them. They're fantastic books. I'm going to recommend them to anybody.
Highly recommend. Pretty much anything Scott Hahn's ever put out is phenomenal.
I still am not finding the answer I'm quite looking for. Okay. And but every time you read these books, or if you watch interviews with Scott or others, you're going to hear other people are mentioned. So I end up ordering St. Augustine's Confessions. Somewhere someone says you need to read St. Augustine's Confessions. So I order a copy of St. Augustine's Confessions, and I read that. And I'm blown away, you know, because I'm like, man, this guy's life is kind of like mine, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot like mine. And look, I'm looking up St. Clement, Justin Martyr, Tertullian, The church fathers. These basically
are
ordering
all the guys I read when I was getting so excited about the faith.
So in these videos I'm tracking down, they're referencing these guys. So I just go to Amazon, just order it, and I read it. All with the purpose is I'm trying to find out. I'm not returning to the church, but I'm trying to find out why did Jesus climb up on the cross. Yeah. And in retrospect, I can see why God didn't provide an answer immediately, because in that journey and that struggle to find an answer, I was exposed to the beauty of our faith.
I love it.
And that's how I end up coming back.
Right.
But I'm looking for this answer. And so I read John Henry Newman, another John Henry.
Another great John Henry.
Dude, that's one of my favorite books. It's his Defense of the Faith. Mm-hmm. His autobiography is phenomenal.
I decided I'd name it after him. I wasn't. But I've just gone with, I named after John Henry Newman.
I'd like to claim the same thing. One of his, in his book that he writes to defend the Catholic faith, one of the things he says is the Catholic faith is a necessity because of the great evil that's in this world. God would not allow us to journey without a greater good to protect us.
Sure.
You know, and so I'm reading John Henry, and I'm reading these statements on the church and his defense of our Catholic faith, of Christ's church, and I'm like, man, wow, okay. I've got a lot of decisions to make. And remember, I'm not drinking at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm not also smoking, and I'm not going out because I'm getting sober. I'm not going to those places I used to be.
Right.
So I'm no longer with the same group of people. Mm-hmm. I love them, but I can't be around them.
Sure.
Because I can't fall into that lifestyle. And actively, while this is happening, instead of walking, I'm starting to run. So I'm like, instead of walking like a lap,
this is going home. 16,000 miles.
This is where it starts, right? Uh-huh. Well, when you can start listening to stuff, I take Scott Hahn on a run. So I'll just go run. I'm going to listen to Scott do his conversation.
Oh, you got to keep running because you got to figure out what he's going to say. Yeah.
Right. So this ends up turning over within a year, walking about 2 miles. So I would run a half marathon before I'd go to work in the morning.
Wow.
So I'd get up.
That's awesome.
I'd study and then I'd go run at about 5:30. I'd get done at 7:30 and I'd take a shower and go to work. And I'm doing this every single day. And I'd get off work, and because I needed to do it again, I'd go run 6 more miles and I'd be listening again.
Yeah.
And I discover an apostolate out of Christendom College where they're kind of affiliated, the Institute of Catholic Culture. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend Father Hezekiah's. Great, man, great stuff. This is how my dad came back to church. The Holy Spirit works through them. And I start listening to their free videos and presentations. You're getting Dr. Bergsma. You're getting not Dr. Hahn yet, but you're getting others. Dr. Brand Petrie. Mm-hmm. You're getting Dr. Christopher Smith, and they are discussing the basics of our faith, the details of our faith, the everything to the smallest detail, how justification works, biblical studies, biblical language, history. Christopher Check from Catholic Answers. So now I'm getting exposed to a ton of stuff. Right. And they're saying, hey, you should read this book. Well, my library now is quite big.
Right.
And I can tell you how to find used books on Amazon quite well, because you can't afford to buy all these new books.
And a big shout out to Catholic Answers in general.
Absolutely.
By the way.
Yep.
Built the best website for anything apologetics related.
Yep.
I use them constantly. Every time I'm teaching a theology class, one part of it, what am I talking about? Let me go to Catholic.com,
Catholic.com.
Type that in, and then, there's an article going into all of this stuff and 18 different methods and articles and videos.
So I'm studying. At this point, I'm studying.
I'm sorry. While we're on a quick pause, I just want to take a moment. If you're listening on the air while you're driving, if you could pull over, subscribe to us on YouTube, and share this video with everybody that you know that teaches RCIA or may need to go to RCIA, because this is right here the hotbed of, or I guess it's now OCIA,
OCIA?
That we've learned. This right here, this information is the hotbed of anybody who's going through a conversion, and this is going to be mandatory listening for all OCIA. in the Atlanta Archdiocese and beyond, and I have an Archdiocese representative right next to me who has guaranteed that's going to happen. I'm totally being facetious, but I definitely think that you should share this with anybody going through RCIA, OCIA, and all the teachers of it. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Remind me where I was. I got off track.
Your library is expanding.
It's expanding.
You're digging into all of these.
And I'd remind you, I'm still not going to Mass at this point.
Wow.
You know, I'm not. Yeah,
that's
I'm not
wild,
going to Mass.
David, okay.
I'm reading all this stuff, right? But I'm not going to Mass. And what's going to happen here shortly is I'm going to take a study in salvation history. This is still offered online. It was recorded with the ICC. It's about 4.5 hours long. And
ICC is Institute of Catholic Culture.
Institute of Catholic Culture, yeah. Sorry. Yep. And I listened to this presentation by Father Hezekias, and it's an explanation of our salvation history through the Bible, taking that biblical narrative and putting it all together, right? And this is a pivotal moment, because at this point, I've got, in my mind, I have the church fathers, I have the doctors of the church, and they're rolling in my head.
Right.
Right. I've got St. Irenaeus, St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, John Henry Newman, St. John Henry Newman, that I've been reading, and many, many others. And I know for a fact that all of these, and my confirmation saint, by the way, is Simon Peter. So I know that the man who denied Jesus 3 times is looking down on the right. man who's denied Jesus multiple times and going, don't worry, you can come back. And he's praying for me.
Right.
And I know that all these men and women are praying for me, including, you know, the family that is living here on this earth, not just the saints in heaven. And this study of salvation history and realizing the depths of what God did, that he never let go of humanity, how far we fell into chaos and in embracing ourselves and denying him, and that at all times there's a plan to bring us back. And Felix Culpa, that happy accident or happy fault, it's better than what originally was going to be. Like right. we're in this case, we originally walked with God, and now Christ is going, or God is going to reside in us in order that we can go back to that original state and reside with him and walk with him. Well, okay, this is the moment I'm coming back to the church. Here's where it's going to happen. Because here's where I look at myself and I say, my God, I am sorry that I have chosen chaos and hatred of you. Hmm. Although I didn't realize it was hatred. Mm-hmm. Not consciously, but that's what it was.
And did this come out of the ICC Salvation History course?
It came out of all of this.
Right,
this
right,
is
sure.
the climax of this.
Yes, okay.
Where everything that is building up to a point, this is the flashpoint. Everything has been building up to this by itself. I haven't been going to any priest. I haven't been seeing anyone. Just through reading this alone, there's no prayer in my life going on. This is the point in which everything is coming together. Everything I've read in the confessions, you know, his desperation. Everything I've read with John Henry and his search for the truth and finding it here in the Catholic Church. Justin Martyr. Defending the faith, you know, everything I've read, all of this is flowing through my head, and here it's put into a picture that I can see what God is doing, right? And so now I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. So, and remember, I've been reading this Old Testament because I've been studying it, trying to figure out why Jesus was on the cross.
Right.
This question that Jordan Peterson asked.
Did you get your answer?
Yeah. You know? And so I'm reading the Bible. I mean, look at my Bible right here. If you all can see it, I mean, everybody, this thing is like, and I open this up. This is the Bible I was using back then. It's highlighted and written all over. Why? Because I was looking for answers, and I knew I needed to find it. There's a book I'm holding. You can't, if you're listening, you can't see it. It's a black book. This is my notebook that I was taking notes in because I needed to keep track and not forget what I was trying to find. So if I had a moment and like, wait, I think I've got something, I need to write it down.
And this is all from sort of that quest to answer that question.
That one question.
That's what started
I'm
it all.
I'm still trying to find, not now, I got it. But
right.
And I will share what happens when I get there. But I'm trying to find that answer. And so I see it. I mean, this is, God has taken an active hand. I can understand now moments of suffering. I get it. I get why God allows us to suffer. Mm. The context of his love in this moment, the insight has been given to me, a gift to see God's interaction on yes. behalf of mankind. I cannot refuse that. I cannot say no. I mean, I could. Intellectually, I could have said, to hell with you, God. Mm. And there was a moment, not at this point, I will say, there was a moment early in my life where I was dating someone that I was convinced, and she was a married woman, and I was convinced that this should happen. And I said, God, if you will not allow me to marry this woman and have 20 years of happiness, then to hell with you, God.
Oh.
I will regret that for the rest of my life. And don't worry, I have confessed it.
I was going to say confess it because God doesn't even remember it.
I have confessed it, and God has absolutely forgiven me. But it's good not to always forget what you have done so you don't return to it. But those, you know, these moments, you know, these are things that we have. So I see now, and I said, God, wherever you are, I have to go there. And I know where you're at. You're at St. Luke's two blocks away from this house. I know where you are, and I know that there is right praise and worship. And there is a way that you have told us to come to you, and I will do it. I will be there. This is 2018. So this is 2 years, basically, of searching. I don't have an answer yet to what Jesus did on the cross, but that search continues, continued. But I knew I had to come home. And so I went to confession. At that time, it was Father John Medicek, and Father Matt wasn't there yet.
Right.
And I came back, and you know, I was still obsessed with finding this answer. So I'm now coming back to Mass, and I'm coming with my mother, sitting with her in 10:45 Mass at St. Luke's, and you know, I'm going to confession, and I go to confession before every Mass I'd go to. Mm. Even if I didn't have a mortal sin on my soul, it's like I need these graces.
Yes.
I can't do this on my own. And I volunteered to be an adoration guardian at that point. It's like I want to spend time with my Lord. Look at everything He's done for me, this mercy He has shown me. He has no reason. It's not, you know, justice. I absolutely deserve every punishment in the world.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And God the Father, out of His absolute infinite love, said, John, all you have to do is repent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right here.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere. And so, you know, for me, this was a hugely emotional moment, you know, of time. This isn't just like a single moment. This is kind of a week's process. Now, I'm back to the church. I don't start volunteering for a few years because, well, for one, you don't always want someone that's just come back to be teaching classes and things.
Sure, I see that.
You know, they're a little excited and they might not know kind of absolutely how to kind of keep it down a little bit. But I want to go into what I found. So eventually, as I'm listening, I discover St. Anselm, father of Scholastics.
Yes.
And St. Anselm writes this book, Credeus Homo, Why God Became Man. And he explains the satisfaction theory of atonement.
I don't know the satisfaction.
The satisfaction theory of atonement. It's like vicarious atonement of what Jesus did on the cross. So that Jesus climbed up on the cross to do what Adam failed to do. And what Adam failed to do was to give God His proper due. You always owe God, out of justice, what is proper to God. And if you give to God what is not proper to Him, aka you sin, you take from God. In reparation, you owe it back. Mm-hmm. But we can't really give anything back to God.
Right.
But God can. So when God became man, man becomes capable of giving back unto God what man owes God, only through Him, in Him, and with Him.
Right.
So Jesus climbing up on the cross allows man to offer himself to God as intended.
In atonement.
For our sins.
Sure.
So we are forgiven, but there's something separate from forgiven.
Yes.
You're forgiven from your sins. You no longer pay the eternal consequences of those sins, but you're not atoned yet.
Right.
You have to deal with the fact that you did them, and you can only atone through Jesus Christ.
And the Jews trying to atone with cows and turtle doves and
they were told
all of
to,
that. Right,
no, but,
right.
But they were told to until...
It could never be fully...
The ultimate covenant comes, and that's what has arrived, is Christ became man, God's man. Here's the fulfillment of those. So this time, the Lamb does all of it.
Right.
This Lamb, when you sacrifice the pure Lamb on the new Passover, absolutely atones for our sins. Today at Mass, I ask for that Mass to be offered for the atonement of my sins. So when Mass was said at 10:45, they
said, I heard your name. I'm just not realizing
they
it.
They said, yeah. This Mass is for the intentions
they
of John Claggett.
They didn't say John Claggett. Henry.
They said John Claggett. It was for the atonement of my sins. So this offering intention was that Jesus Christ, for the intentions of my atonement, for everything I've ever done. And that's part of what every Mass is for all of us. And all of this together, this led me not only back into our faith, but I knew I had to share it with people.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing it with us today. That's powerful. That is powerful. So we're if anybody's listening to this and they're not Catholic, you can have a conversation with John face-to-face at St. Luke's in OCIA anytime.
Yep. My email's in the bulletin, which is on our website, stlukerrcc.com, I think, or .org.
Wow.
Maybe.
This is really good. You ought to write a book. I hope you're considering that.
Maybe you could be my ghostwriter.
I don't know about all that. I'll see if you want me. Producer Julian, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we got to do
that. But that was really fantastic, John Henry. Thank you so much for being here. Praise God.
Thank
praise
you.
God for his mercy. And praise God
Amen.
For you coming back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over now.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.